Today, data breaches occur on a regular basis. Big and small companies fall prey to attackers with devastating consequences. If we look at the anatomy of these breaches, they usually include a long time of compromise up to a point of detection. And thereafter, the forensic process kicks off. And the goal of this work is to reduce this time, make this faster and less painful for the organizations. How does this process look like? So if you consider a large company that all of a sudden detects that sensitive data leaves to a country they don't do business with, and they start off and first figure out why did that data leave the network at this point, just to realize it has been copied multiple times to this edge as a result of a very deep infiltration. And the analyst has to really figure out how long did that take place, what are all the parts that were involved in this breach, and how can we prevent this from happening from the future. This typically is a sequence of punching queries into a command line log, a console, to iteratively figure out what happened based on looking at different subsets of activity. The data accesses are not just temporally very large, but also slice data in various spatial ways, such as by looking at specific IP subnets. And what goes into these analyses is data that is generated at rates, at very high event rates, such as 50 to 100K events per second, and that can amount up to tens of terabytes per day. So this is, for example, one of these log files that an analyst would just go through, look at one line by line here. Each line represents a single connection. And they would try to make sense of the data. This is at the transport layer, but this log data exists across the entire network stack and even includes host data. So what many folks do is use MapReduce because it scales beautifully, but its batch-oriented nature does not lend itself very well for iterative and exploratory analysis, for which Spark does actually much better as long as the working set fits into the aggregate memory. And the system we're proposing is kind of complementary in helping to trying to identify the working set to avoid these huge scans in MapReduce or thrashing when it's unclear what the working set looks like. And in this talk, I'm going to present the architecture and specifically the design, and I'm going to talk how we solve this problem with bitmap indexes. So the system is a set of nodes, and I'm going to look at one node and first before we look at how these nodes interact in a distributed way. So the key components here are on the left is a source that generates the data. This can be a parsing a log file or reading from a network interface that generates packets. Then there's an archive, which is a key value store, essentially, of all the data, and the index, which accelerates the search. And the user here on the right-hand side is the one who consumes the output of the system by issuing queries. So let's look at the ingestion process. The data here, for example, is read by a log file. A source parses these events into typed data that is being sent to an importer that assigns unique identifiers from a range of 2 to the 64 to the events, sends a copy of this batch to the archive where it gets compressed, and also to the index where it gets indexed. And that is essentially a columnar data store. And I'm going to show you how that index looks like. So it consists of individual horizontally partitions. And each of these partitions have, per type, a so-called table or so. And the connection, for example, is one type. But based on what the types defined by the users, there can be multiple tables. And they are all executing in in parallel the accesses to the different indexes here shown by these individual orange dots. They are essentially parallel threads of execution. I'll go into this later. And when a user issues a query, they would send it first to the index, and from there, the lookups would result in a specific set of hits for this query, which then is being sent to the archive to extract the results, perform a candidate check, and send it to the user, which renders the results. So in a distributed setting, these nodes are connected, and they share some minimal global state with a protocol such as RAFT for distributed consensus. And when sources generate or send data to these nodes, they would load balance them across the different nodes. And when users query data, a subset of the results is being delivered from each node back to the user. So a key in accelerating these searches and identifying the working set that's necessary to perform these analyses relies on indexes. And traditional indexes such as B-trees have the problem that when we want to compose their lookups, that's not working directly. There's inverted indexes that suit better this task. They have introduced a layer of indirection. And by associating with each value the ID of the event in which they occur. And an isomorphic data structure are bitmap indexes. They represent these position lists just as bit vectors. And since they are compressed in practice, they actually tractable data structures. So just let me show you how this works, roughly how a lookup with these index types works. There's here we showed we have two different indexes, and these blue fields represent mass, so to say, one bits in the index. And when we perform a query, a lookup, such as for all addresses in a specific subnet or all values greater than 60 seconds, then these yield two different bit vectors of hits that can be composed with bitwise operations. And these operations can be carried out while these bit vectors are compressed, and that makes it very efficient. And the challenge here is really to support to represent these bitmap indexes for high cardinality values, and at the same time support rather high-level operations on them. In particular, support relational operators that include ordering or set membership. And a big chunk of this work involves creating these high-level indexes. And the query language in the system is pretty much Boolean algebra with conjunctions, disjunctions, and negations. And it includes various types and specific relational operators on them, such as IP prefix search. And the data model we describe in the paper in more detail, and I would like to illustrate how we adapted these indexes for one specific type for IP addresses. So when we have a standard IP address and we look at it in its bitwise representation and then associate with each bit, single bit vector. And when we append a new event to this index, we append at the locations where there's a one bit in the address. When we query this index, such as with the query, give me all IP addresses in this /27, what we do is we just perform the bitwise AND of the first 27 bit vectors. And that yields a single bit vector that represents all events for this query. We've evaluated our system on a single machine and as well as on a cluster. And the data for this is 10 million packet trace plus the derived logs. On the cluster evaluation, we took a larger data set of 1.2 billion logs, which we split into n slices over 24 machines. And these are the queries. You can look in the paper in more detail at them. We've checked them and verified that these are reasonable queries by getting in touch with the operators of the Lawrence Berkeley Lab, who perform a lot of forensic analysis on a regular basis. When we look at a single machine performance, we can see that the system scales over the number of cores and that the latency goes down. And when we look at the distributed setting, I have shown here the import and export, which are essentially ingestion and querying. And we see that the system scales pretty easily on the ingestion side. And when all the query performance, the latency also goes down, the more nodes we add. Check out our paper for details. And the system we're presenting here is conducive to do these high-dimensional explorative data analysis that help down finding a tractable working set that can be used in conjunction with other analytics tools. The system is open source and available online, and please let me know if you have any questions.
Great talk, thank you. So I have a somewhat higher level question. So you showed this what happens when there's an attack in the beginning, and there's at some point there's a compromise, and then you detect it, and then I do forensics afterwards. So this is somewhat orthogonal to your system, I think. But as an adversary, when I compromise the system, aren't I trying to keep things out of the logs? Is there anything that you can do about that, or is that a different problem? You just rely on being able to actually find things in the logs.
Yeah, that depends really on the instrumentation of the logging infrastructure. The more sensors you have in your network, the harder it is for the attacker to kind of hide. I would say that it is indeed an orthogonal problem, but with a lot of per host analysis and also network-wide analysis, it's pretty difficult to hide.
Okay, great, thank you.
Nice work. I guess my basic question is, to be able to find specific rows in the data set or some subsets of the rows, this actually works really well. Can you speak to whether how well it works for doing aggregations or approximate querying?
Yeah, it is actually not doing aggregation at all. It's really just search and doing nothing that requires buffering. It's highly asynchronous, and that's how the really nice latency help in doing these iterative analysis. So you would, if you wanted to do something that involves aggregation, you would first confine that working set by figuring out what you want with multiple queries, refining your query until you have it, and then ship it off to Spark, okay, for example.
Thanks.
Actually, it's a very related question. The bitmap operations were really cool, and I was just trying to get a sense of are there kinds of queries, maybe aggregation, that you have experienced wanting to use in practice that wouldn't be supported efficiently by bitmap operations?
That's a good question. Yeah, and so it turns out that to solve a forensic case, it's often enough to just know the activity set without performing fancy computations on it. And it's more important to slice and dice the data quickly in the way you want it,
right,
rather than performing, top K analysis or anything more complicated, stateful. But it certainly is something that a lot of other systems and really nicely lift up to dashboards or so, but in single numbers, which is a different system in that sense.
Right. Cool. Yeah, the bitmap operations are really kind of mind-blowing what you can do with that.
Okay, I have one more question for you. So you have this system that enables you to do these really fast queries on this huge amount of data, and you're using it in this talk for doing this forensics. There's also another part of that flow where you're detecting that something bad actually happened. Would this system be useful in that setting, or is there some way to adapt it to be useful in that setting, or is that also, have I asked a second orthogonal question?
So let's just go back to this real quick. I just want to show you on this architecture slide. Once the analyst has usually figured out what makes up the bad activity and they can describe it with a filter expression, then they can also install a trigger or a live query, so to say. And what that introduces is just an edge between the importer and the exporter. So as the data enters the system, this expression is being immediately evaluated on the data. And the analyst would get notification.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. All right, thank you very much.